and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. 1 Timothy in chapter 4. And I want us to read the same scripture we read a couple of weeks ago when we addressed the subject, why doctrine matters. We didn't finish that message, and tonight I hope to. And so we'll look at the same scripture, and we're going to consider the importance of doctrine in the life of believers, in the life of our church. Let's read the scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." The word presbytery, you may think of Presbyterian. That's where they get the name for the denomination. And this word presbytery has to do with the elders, the group of elders. So that's preserved there in the King James Version, that word. "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Let's bow together in prayer again. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you again for this service and how it has blessed our heart and our soul. We thank you, Lord, for the great privilege, the high honor we have to approach your table. And Lord, we realize in ourselves we could never be worthy to do so. And it's only by your grace that you allow us to do that. Lord, thank you for salvation, and thank you for the grace extended to us through Christ. And thank you for the shedding of his blood that makes a way into your holy presence for all of us as believers. We thank you again for the privilege of worship tonight, that we can lift our hearts to you in song and praise, and again reflect on Calvary through communion and through your word. And now, Lord, as we come to this part of the service and considering the importance of doctrine, sound doctrine, and how important that is in your scheme of things for the church and for our lives, we pray now that our hearts would be riveted upon what you tell us in your word, and help us to realize just how needful this matter is to our lives, to our church, in a world that makes so light of doctrine and almost wants to make excuses for the teaching of Bible doctrine, the preaching of Bible doctrine in the church, because it is not so likable or so pleasant or maybe so interesting as other topics, what things people might be more interested in, we're told. But Lord, we know that you are interested in this matter of doctrine, and therefore we're interested in it. We want to know why it's so important and what it accomplishes in our lives. So help us to understand that better tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Truth does matter, doesn't it? And biblical truth matters most. There's truth, and then there's biblical truth. And when we think of doctrine, that's really what we're thinking about, is biblical truth that is distilled or compressed or put into form that we can grab hold of the teachings. Sometimes we think of doctrine, it sounds like a high-flown word, something reserved for the classroom or for the scholar or for the seminary or the college or what have you. But it's not. It's for the church. It's for the home. It's for the individual Christian. And the word doctrine, or if you like that word, theology, is not actually found in the Bible, but it's the same idea. It's like taking the Bible and the main teachings of the Bible and compressing it to where we can understand it. Understandable truths, we might say, from the Bible. So that's what it's referring to here, the basic beliefs, the teachings of the Christian life. And he points out in this passage where we've just read, and now coming back to it for the second time in about 2 weeks, he tells us here many things, but if you'll just notice again in verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Paul's writing to young Timothy as a pastor, and he says, Timothy, take heed to yourself, that is, your life, your conduct, your character, and also take heed to the doctrine. Notice the doctrine. The doctrine of the Christian faith, the teachings of the Christian faith. Continue in them. It's not something you check off a list and say, well, I've studied that or I've read that and I can move on now. You never move beyond doctrine. The church is always needing to come to doctrine. And pastors, likewise, continuing in doctrine. For in doing this, that is, in taking heed to yourself and the doctrine, continuing in those things, in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So we know what's riding on doctrine. Why does doctrine matter? Because our very soul is at stake. Timothy's soul is at stake. Timothy, you need to know what you believe. A pastor gets to heaven the same way the congregation gets to heaven. Amen? We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. And how would we know that if we didn't study the Bible and clarify that and make that our solid foundation, as we sometimes sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So that's what's at stake. Last time we got into a couple of the areas and we didn't get to the third one. Let me quickly, I am saying that to myself, quickly. I'm going to do this quickly, just like the scripture, what thou doest, do quickly. And I'm going to hope to do it quickly. Can you listen quickly? I'll try to say it quickly. And we'll come to point three and finish this message. We talked about the neglect of Bible doctrine. And it certainly is neglected. Some say it doesn't really matter. Some say it's not important. Some would even argue that it is harmful or even dangerous, or they would give you that kind of notion. Some objections. Doctrine divides people, but love unites people. Therefore, let's all come together. It really doesn't matter what we believe. That's going to divide us. Let's just come together, call ourselves Christians, and have more of a good feeling, and don't define things. Don't make a big issue of what we believe or what we don't believe, because that alienates people, that divides people, and it does divide people. And well, it should. It divides truth from error, and it divides right from wrong, and black and white. And so for that reason, we need to pay attention to doctrine and not neglect it. Some say doctrine is dull and impractical. I was thinking about the Puritans. I think about them a lot. I enjoy reading Puritan devotional material daily. And though I don't just read that entirely, I've learned to appreciate that. Think of that word Puritan. From about the, say, 16th century up to the 19th century, some say Spurgeon was the last of the Puritans. Well, I'm not here to argue that or debate. That's quite possible that that's true. But during that period of time, a certain group of people, Christians and Christian leaders in particular, were called the Puritans. And it wasn't a term of endearment. It was actually used as a type of slur against those. Those are the ones who are pure, you know, the Puritans. And it was sort of a way of rubbing it in their face. But they were pure, truly pure, and they were pure in their doctrine, and they were pure in their devotion. In other words, they walked the walk, and they were godly very godly men. Not perfect men, by no means, but godly men. And that's why they were pure, is because they put an emphasis on the teaching of Scripture. If it wasn't scriptural, they didn't want any part of it. And that's the way I want to be. How about you? That's the way a church ought to be. How about, shouldn't it? And it's not that a church is aiming for perfection. There's no church in this world is going to be perfect, but we do want to be biblical and doctrinal and true to Scripture. So it is anything but dull, anything but impractical. Look at the lives of those men and how their lives were ordered by correct doctrine. And we want to be the same. Hopefully we do. Doctrine, some say, gets in the way of evangelism and missions. Does just the opposite. It propels evangelism and missions. It is the fuel for evangelism and missions. If we don't have correct teaching, we have nothing to take to this lost world. That's what we take to the world. Remember what was said of the early church there, the primitive church there in the book of Acts? You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. That was the highest honor that could have ever been paid to that beginning church, because that's exactly what Christ commissioned them to do. Beginning in Jerusalem, then work out Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. The Great Commission says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What were they to teach? The teachings of Scripture, the teachings that Christ had given them, the apostles, and they were to take that out. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Some say doctrine is over the heads of most people. That's not true at all. Because, and I know that, because this was written to Timothy, and this was written to Timothy as a pastor of a local church. I've said this before, but it's a good time to remind us. The book of Romans is full of doctrine, isn't it? Wonderful, wonderful doctrine. And it was doctrine for the local church at Rome. And some say, why are you getting into that, Pastor? Why are you diving down into those deep truths? Isn't that just a little over people's heads? Well, God didn't think so. And God had Paul to write it to a local church. If it's good for the church of Rome, I think it's good for the church at Liberty, don't you? The church at Bristol. And so that's a false argument. It's off base. And as we sometimes say in our King's Academy class, God has not called us to be Bible scholars, none of us. Not a one of us is called to be a Bible scholar, but He has called us to be Bible students. And what we study is Scripture, and in studying Scripture, we're going to be studying doctrine. That's just the way it goes. So we can't afford to neglect it. Then we talked about the importance of Bible doctrine. And one way we can see that is simply by studying through the pastoral epistles. I'm talking about 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, and the many, many, many references to doctrine in these letters, written to pastors, and then by extension, intended for their local church. That's how important it is. Let me break this down, if I could, and say, in the first instance, doctrine is the main purpose of all Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 is a foundational Scripture, and you know it well. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that is, God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, very first thing, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The very purpose of the Bible is for teaching sound doctrine. And then teaching doctrine is a priority for the pastor, as I've already mentioned. There were several Scriptures I shared last time. I did not share this one. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2, 3, and 4 says this, preach the word. This is Paul's second letter telling Timothy, this young pastor, this is what you need to be doing, pastor, young pastor Timothy. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I read that, and I've reread that, and one of the last several times I've read that, I've paused And God intended for me to see this. Notice what it says. I'm preaching to myself right now before you. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. There needs to be a coupling of doctrine and long-suffering. What's long-suffering? That's patience. In other words, Pastor Timothy, Pastor Stan, Pastor Roger, anybody who's teaching doctrine, teach it, but be patient. Don't beat people over the heads with it. Don't try to pound it into people. Teach it and give it time to settle. Give it time for people to digest it, for people to grasp it, for people to understand it, for people to live it. Wouldn't you agree that we all don't get it the first time? We all don't see the light initially. Like, for example, the truth of justification, that we're declared righteous in the sight of God based upon what Christ has done for us. It's some time before that really clicks. But I'm going to tell you, when that clicks, you really have something in your soul. But it takes time. And so, long-suffering and doctrine. That meant something to me, and I pray that I will do that, that'll be a part of the way I preach and teach. For the time will come, he goes on to say, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And ladies and gentlemen, we're living in those days. The time not only will come, the time's here. And I suppose it's been that way to some degree all through church history, that people will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want it. They're not interested in it. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That's pretty straightforward. They'll turn their ears and say, I don't want to hear that. I don't have time for that. I want something more to my liking. I want something more usable, something that just meets my felt needs instead of my real needs. And that's the world we're living in. But nonetheless, doctrine must be a priority for the pastor. You want to know why I preach doctrinal messages? Is because that's my assignment. And you want me to be true to the scripture, don't you? Pastor has an unusual position of explaining his own job. And here it is, as we're looking at some of this in the pastoral epistles. Learning doctrine is a priority for the pastor, and then learning doctrine is a priority for the church. After the 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost and baptized, here's what it says. The very next verse after their baptism, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They had the benefit of the apostles with them, didn't they? They heard it firsthand. How'd you like to hear Peter? How'd you like to hear James? How'd you like to hear Paul? How would you like to hear them? Well, of course, we weren't able to do that, but we have the next best thing. We have the preaching and the teaching and the doctrine of the apostles' doctrine in printed form, written and preserved in the New Testament. That's what we have. Think of the New Testament as that, the apostles' doctrine. And so we're to continue in that, just like that primitive church did. If we neglect it, and if we don't realize it's important, how can we detect false teachers and reject false teachers, and they abound? How can we know what's true, what's worth holding on to? How can we confront sin and correct sin? And so we can't get beyond doctrine. We got to get back to doctrine. We got to stay with the doctrine. Now, number three, the benefits of Bible doctrine. Let me give you several. And these come right out of the scripture. Biblical doctrine, first of all, are you ready? Say amen. It brings spiritual freedom. This is not legalistic. Legalism, people want to use that word. They like to throw that out like it's confining, it's restricting. We're under grace. We need freedom. Well, truth, the truth of the Word of God, the truth of pure doctrine from God's Word is the most freeing thing there is. Jesus put it this way in John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's only when we know the truth, pure doctrine, sound doctrine, that we then become free from sin, free from tradition, free from guilt, free from fear and superstition. You know people, probably got some in your family. They are really bound by tradition. They're bound by superstition. They won't do certain things on certain days. They won't do certain things because they're afraid, boy, that'd be a bad day. They're afraid of Friday the 13th, whenever that rolls around. Just silly things like that. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free from that stuff. But most importantly, most practically, even more and beyond that, the truth sets you free from sin. And that's why we need pure doctrine. So it brings spiritual freedom. Another thing it does, it produces spiritual stability. Spiritual stability. Ephesians 4:14 speaks to this, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And there are those winds that blow. You ought to think this way. You ought to believe this way. It's ever changing and it's always attractive. And some people are carried away with that. But if we know what the Bible teaches, we'll have a foundation. And those things won't move us about. We won't be blown about, carried about, as it says, with every wind of doctrine. It puts it this way in Colossians 2:7. We need to be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Now, the faith is different than faith. Faith is what we exercise in Christ, trusting Him. The faith is what we're talking about here, the body of doctrine that's given to us in the Scripture. And so we need to be established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Biblical doctrine also empowers our personal testimony. Our testimony is grounded in doctrine. You're familiar with this verse, I believe. A lot of you have been in evangelism training. And what a verse it is. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And that readiness has to do with knowing what we believe and why we believe it. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a scholar. But you do need to know certain basics. And if we've been in church for any length of time, shouldn't we be able to tell somebody about how sinners are made right with God? How we were made right with God? Shouldn't we be able to tell people something about what repentance is and what it's not? What real faith is and what it's not? Shouldn't we know some of the basics about who Christ is? That He was God in human flesh. He's both divine and human. Shouldn't we know those things? And then we have a platform in which to talk to people. Not that we're going to preach them a sermon, but we know enough to be able to tell them the truth. And then biblical doctrine does another thing. It provides spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. Oh, how we need discernment. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. We're living in these times. The Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That means clearly, openly and clearly. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What's that talking about? Evil spirits that drag people away from truth. Doctrines of devils or doctrines of demons, that's not doctrines about devils, that's doctrines from devils. From demons. In other words, demon-inspired teaching. And that's going to be prevalent in latter times, the Bible says. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. In other words, what they teach flies in the face of what God teaches in His Word. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. And by the way, that's a great verse to claim around Thanksgiving, right there. Remember that one. When the feast and the spread is laid out, and you got a little turkey, you got a little ham. Can I read that verse again? For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. You know, seriously, in Bible times, there was all these arguments about what you can or can't eat, the dietary laws. We saw some of that in Romans. And the truth of the matter is, you can eat whatever is available, provided you do so with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. Now, here's the point about that passage. There were some false teachers, and probably linked in with Gnosticism. You've heard Roger refer to that. I refer to that from time to time. This false teaching was prevalent in New Testament times, which basically said that anything of matter, anything physical, was evil, necessarily evil. But only that which was pure spirit was good. And so they took that and applied that and made application in this way, that some were teaching that marriage is not good because that involves sensuality, sensual pleasure. And so marriage was forbidden by these false teachers. And fasting and abstaining from eating certain foods, in fact, a lot of foods, and doing a lot of extra fasting was especially good because satisfying your appetite for food, that was a bad thing. How did Paul deal with that? I'll tell you exactly how Paul dealt with that. He told them the truth. How do we counter arguments, silly arguments, false teachings, heresies? We got to know the truth. We have to have discernment. And that comes by learning the truth, learning what's right. And that's exactly what he did in that passage. And then one last thing, our time is up, and we're finished. So we did make it through. Biblical doctrine furnishes spiritual nourishment. 1 Timothy 4:6, the Bible says this, and we'll close. Listen to this verse, please. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, if you do what I'm telling you to do, Timothy, then you're going to have a congregation that is well nourished. God's people can't make it on junk food. We need solid doctrine. And that solid doctrine is to be found in the Word of God. So why does doctrine matter? It matters for a lot of reasons, doesn't it? And I'm thankful that you have a heart to want to know it and a heart that wants to do it. Let's pray. Father, seal to our heart the truth of your word. And help us, Lord, to always have a hunger and an eagerness to learn and to practice sound doctrine. It's called sound doctrine for a reason. It's healthy. Healthy truth. And help us, Lord, to be a church that's healthy, that's nourished on your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Mark's going to come and lead us in a song. It'll be a hymn of invitation, a hymn of commitment. Maybe you have something on your heart tonight. We have counselors that would be glad to pray with you. Or